Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we know her as a Eurovision legend, but she's also a hero to many, many dogs. Linda Martin, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Brendan. I'm delighted to see you because we haven't spoken since last year.
Yes, it's been a while. Ian McKellen is going to have to come and open the dog sanctuary now. Did you see that? I pushed it with him.
Live. Absolutely.
He wanted to get rid of me and go and do a show, but I got the commitment. So it's you have evidence now. Dog sanctuary. What is it first about you and dogs? There's a kind of a special connection there.
Yes,
isn't there?
There is. There always has been. And I'm focused on animals of any sort, really. And although I'm in show business because of my work, but my passion is actually animals of any sort.
Why?
There's an affinity there. I don't know where it comes from. Well, I do know where it comes from, actually, because my father's family always had dogs and budgies and all sorts of things. But I remember as a child, my mother used to say, if she was looking for me, she could see a dog in the distance and she'd know I'd be with that dog. It's just there. It's in my heart.
Okay. And as a kid, did you have dogs?
I did. At all? Always.
And you've always had a big menagerie in all the time I've known you. How many animals have you on the go at the moment now?
13. You'd love
13
that.
Dogs.
13 dogs. You'd love that, Brendan.
I'm not taking a dog. This has been going on for about 20 years. I don't want one of the dogs. I presume you didn't mean to end up with 13 dogs. Do they just gravitate towards you?
They're all rescues. So there's been various circumstances in them coming into the house. Some are very, very old at this moment in time. But I just don't mind. I live in the country, you see, and I don't have carpets or anything like that. Stone floors. So what if there's an accident? They're easily cleaned. I dream of having white furniture someday, but I'm afraid it is actually just a dream because it's probably never going to happen. But I just love them, Brendan.
Okay, so this is a dog's house that you happen to share with them.
Yeah.
And listen, do you have favourites among them? Or is it hard when you get attached? And they're coming and going sometimes, I presume, yeah?
Well, ones that come in, if they settle with the other bunch, they're welcome to stay. And they do stay, but age goes on and dogs' lives are very short, you know, which is an awful sad thing. But they pass and I cry and then something else arrives at the gate and we just
move on. Yeah. Chilly Willy died.
Chilly Willy died.
Was one of your favourites. And I think that did kind of...
broke my heart, Brendan.
You did it, yeah.
You come into the pantry with your girls. And Chilly Willy was in that panto. I don't know if you remember
of course I do.
But he just got me. I don't know what it was, but where I was, he was. And I took him probably 90% of the time at places I was going to. Chilly Willy was with me. And I missed him. By God, I missed him when he was gone. It was almost like he needed me. And that was wonderful for me because some of the dogs in the house, they couldn't care less whether I'm there or not, as long as I'm feeding them. But he's special.
Yeah. I don't think that people like me understand the idea of grief for an animal, really. But I know certainly since I've been doing this and the response you get anytime there's anything about dogs dying, it's a kind of a real grief for people.
Yes, it is. And you experience it on different levels. I spoke to a friend of mine the other day and her first words were, she was 15 and she's gone now, Linda. And I was picking up the emotion coming from her. And I said, well, I know it's too soon, but will you ring me when you're ready to go again? But I expect it's going to be quite some time before this lady replaces them. And that's just the way some people are. Other ones, the dog passes. That's OK. We move on. We get another one. But the grief is real.
Yeah. You organised there, didn't you? It was with Pete the Vet, wasn't it? He had a pet memorial service.
We did that pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And very well attended, incredibly emotional. I mean, even...
Was it? Yeah.
It's unbelievable. People came along and we asked them to bring photographs of the pet they were mourning. And they did. And I'm looking at these people and then I had to make speech, right? And I ended up crying, which I normally don't do if I have to do something on a professional level. Yeah. But I couldn't help it, Brendan.
Okay. Tell me about... So you're going more formal now. You have a new dog shelter. So
yes.
This is a kind of a different to you just taking them in and out of the
house. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not at the house at all. I was given some land and just over 2 years ago, Ashton Pound closed and there was no pound in the centre of Dublin. I thought, well, now listen here, I'm always moaning, so I better put my money where my mouth is. And that's exactly what I did. I applied immediately for planning permission, which took the guts of 2 years between back and forward with the planners and everything. But I got there. And then it was a matter of finding a good architect, which I did. Good builders, which I did. And it just went on and on from there. So 2 years later, I'm 90% built. Now, the site at the moment still has machinery on it and everything. But then, don't I read that Ian McKellen and John Bishop are coming to Dublin? And I checked out the dates. And then I checked out if Ian McKellen could possibly be free to come along at an afternoon. And I find that the Friday the 24th, he's only got an evening performance. So, through a friend of a friend, I got the message to him. And he happens to love dogs. And he said yes. And then I got a message from them and it just said, dear lady, I'm delighted and I'll see you on the Friday. John Bishop wants to come along as well. So he'll be there because his wife has an animal sanctuary in England.
Right.
So it was all fallen into place for me. So I have the usual very, very supportive celebrities like Louis Walsh, Rory Cowan and various people, Anne Doyle's coming along. And we decided then, let's do 1 o'clock on Friday the 24th. Now, for everybody that's listening, this is not an open day. I wish to God it was, but it's not. This is literally just introducing the fact that I have a facility there. Okay. So it'll be made up really of rescue groups and Ian McKellen and John Bishop and his crowd.
Can you explain to me then how the system works then in terms of the dogs coming to you and what happens then?
Well, say in 6 months' time I'm up and running, which means if somebody finds a dog, for instance, or wants rid of a dog, well, they can come to me and if I got room for it, Brendan, then I can bring the dog in, look after it. If it needs rehabilitated, so be it. If it needs veterinary work, so be it. And then it'll be up for adoption.
Okay. And how long does that process go on for? Like if you put the dog up for adoption.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't take it then?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be disposing of it or anything like that because I work with the rescue centres nationwide. So some of them take in only particular types of dogs. Like there's a lady in Galway just takes in French bulldogs. So if I can't get a home for it in Dublin, then I'll put the word out around the country. And there's always waiting lists for particular types. And I'm not actually talking about pedigree dogs. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about a type. Somebody might want a little hairy dog. Somebody might want a tall, skinny dog, you know. So we can work together.
And are these now, say the dogs at the moment now that are being picked up around the place, are these dogs that say people, like during COVID, loads of people got dogs, like, and then is it like people get a dog and 6 months in, they're like, actually,
absolutely,
this is not working with our lives?
COVID has led to this disastrous situation we're in now with stray dogs and unwanted dogs. There are fabulous rescue centres all over the country, like Dogs Trust, and they have a waiting list of something like 400 people waiting to hand those dogs in. Because wasn't it great during COVID? Ah, sure, we'll buy, the kids are bored, let's buy them a puppy. Now, that doesn't mean to say they're dog orientated or anything like that. It was just to amuse the kids. And then everybody went back to work. And what happens? You have a dog locked up in your house. And what does it do? It chews the carpet. It eats the furniture. And then suddenly they realise, no, the dog is not for us. And it's handed out to a rescue society. Now, bearing in mind, Brenda, these dogs are probably not trained. You know, they've just existed. Not in all cases now, but in some cases. And that's what's happening in the country. Rescues are closing because they cannot take in anything else. And the government has to step in and stop the puppy farms. Personally, I would ban them. And I would want to. No, pretty much all the puppy farms. I'm not talking about breeders because there's fantastic breeders out there who do a great job. I'd ban puppy farms. I'd want a limit on the dogs they could have breeding. Because some of them have 200 and 300 bitches breeding all the time, and you can just imagine, it's a nightmare. I'd put a limit on that. I'd also have mandatory inspections, unannounced inspections, by independent vets or people from the authorities to come in and look and see what's happening, with the power to close it immediately and take the dogs away if it's not up to standard.
Okay, so it's pretty unregulated at
unregulated.
The moment,
I mean, they're supposed to do X, Y, Z. And there are laws in place now, trust me.
Okay.
But we haven't got the manpower.
Okay.
Sure, our guards haven't got the manpower to deal with what's happening in the street, you know, so we just don't have the manpower.
And listen, how are you going to pay to keep your shelter going? Is it going to be a charity or is there
money out
there?
At this minute in time, yes. Yeah? Yes.
Okay. Louis Walsh is always looking for things to do with his money, isn't he? Is he being supportive of you?
He's very supportive of me, yes, absolutely. Yeah. People in general have been incredible. Because I know you can't be arsed with a dog or anything, but
I'm saying that.
But there's thousands of people like me, you know,
yes,
and
they've been
a massive help.
You see, Louis has this reputation for maybe being a bit waspish and all that kind of thing. Yeah. But like, I know that Louis has been a very, very good and loyal friend to you down the
Absolutely.
Years, hasn't he? Probably
yes.
the best. Like,
I know he can be waspish, all right, but then there's another side of him.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known you a long time. And I know things you say to me, but then I know you backstage when you're a big gentle, big lamb. I've always said that to people.
Ruining,
I'm ruining your reputation
ruining
now, but I've always said
to
people, don't mind him because he's gentle and he's very kind and everything. And Louis is exactly the same. He doesn't want a dog, but he supports me in what I do.
Yeah. And actually, he kind of ran his own shelter for a while. Louis kind of took you in for years, didn't he?
He had no choice. Jesus. A long time ago, that was in the 80s. And I ended up with nothing. And I drove across to his flat and he says, well, you can go in there. And I was there then for a couple of years. And eventually he moved on. I bought that apartment. And but, you know, you have to be close to somebody for that situation to take place. And I'm sure you've got friends like that who would say, well, maybe not in your case. They may not let you into their house, but he did. He looked after me, still looks after me.
Yeah. So that you had ups and downs, like a showbiz career has
Absolutely.
Ups and downs. You can end up with nothing at times, yeah?
Everybody has had that situation. If you've succeeded in show business, you've been up and down. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I love bands that have struggled for years. Done the apprenticeship and then suddenly they get that little break and away they go. I love that. I do not like because you're on Love Island, for instance, or in the jungle, because I never watch any reality TV programs anyway. But I hate the fact that overnight, these people who are talentless, and I don't care whether you argue
Here
with me
go.
Or not,
yeah,
they're talentless.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're stars.
Yeah. Haven't paid their dues yet.
Haven't paid the dues, not at all.
And are you still busy showbiz-wise?
Yeah.
Like, is that Eurovision circuit is a good one still, isn't
it? It's a brilliant one. Thanks to that one song and Johnny Logan, I'm still working.
Yeah.
And right through May, I'm in London the week before the Eurovision and then I'm working. I'm not dithering around the place and then I'm up a train up to Liverpool and I'm working in Liverpool for the week in the Euro Club.
Okay.
And it's brilliant. It's a gift from heaven, Brendan. Don't ever sneer. People, if you're listening to me, don't ever sneer Eurovision because it's a fantastic platform. If you win, you win. But if you don't, you can still use it.
Okay. What do you think of this year's entry?
Well, I heard it once the night they won. Appearance-wise, they fit the criteria. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Age group and everything and their attitude is brilliant. It's a lottery. You don't know. With the best song in the world, you may not win. And already they're all predicting that Sweden's going to win again this year. You remember Euphoria? What's her name? Oh, sugar, the name's going out of my head. But
I don't know. I'm looking at you blank.
You're
here.
Looking at me blank. Yeah. I know.
Maneskin? Was that?
No. Oh, no. Oh, they're megastars.
They're
me.
Huge now, aren't they?
They are just megastars. You see, they won the Sanremo Festival. Then they were on Italy's X Factor. So by that time, when they went into Eurovision, they had a massive following. Now, they are good anyway. And it was just foregone conclusion they were going to win.
Okay.
So this year they're saying, oh, I can't think of her name. I've got the Alzheimer's. But Sweden might win. And if they do, they're going to pass us in the number of wins, which I don't like at all.
Have we forgotten how to do it?
Well, we haven't forgotten, but I think we're trying to...
Do we know what works
anymore?
What works
exactly. There's the thing. Every year, the cream of the crop floats to the top. So if you look at the top 10, you wouldn't be looking at the top 10 in Eurovision anyway, but I know for a fact the great songs rise up. Okay?
Okay.
But we're trying to compete with Euro pop, Euro rock, whatever you want to call it. We can't, Brenda. We can't. We have to go back to good singer, good appearance, great voice and great song. End of. It has to be a ballad.
Really, yeah. Back to Johnny Logan kind of stuff, really.
Correct.
Come here. Speaking of people like doing well out of Eurovision, Johnny's flying too, isn't he still?
Absolutely.
I think he feels not in Ireland, doesn't he? He tends to feel he's not appreciated here, really.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be here.
Yeah.
Trust me, he doesn't. And you have to embrace it. Anybody that's done well out of Eurovision has embraced it from the word go.
And come here, would you be in touch with Johnny and
always
see him on the circuit and
always
all that kind of thing?
Yeah.
By the way, Loreen won
Loreen,
for Sweden, wasn't it? With Euphoria.
Yes.
I just couldn't think of it
I
there for a minute.
Her name.
It was on the tip of my tongue, but I got it there eventually. Nobody told me that. So listen, what do people need to know about the Dog Hub then, in terms of they can donate and stuff if they want to? Can
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
It's going to be called the Dublin Dog Hub. Is
yeah,
that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this is a soft opening next week.
It's just a soft opening
okay.
because of John Bishop and Ian McKellen both love dogs. There's no question about that at all. And you know something? I love Ian McKellen anyway, and he is a total gentleman.
He's great,
old school,
isn't he?
Right? So I'll tell you, my friend manages the Theatre Royal in Haymarket. And many years ago, I went over to see Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Derek Jacobi, and I can't think who the fourth one was, in Waiting for Godot.
Right? Wow.
So yeah. It was amazing. And my friend told me that in the interval between matinee and evening performance, there was one rider. The rider was afternoon tea in China cups. And he said the four of them, every afternoon there, the four of them were with their tea in China cups. So this Friday coming, I've got China. And I've got everything with little cakes and all. I have a young relative staying with me at the moment. She's from Toronto. She keeps saying Toronto. And she's a fantastic cook. So Isla McMillan's going to be doing all the cupcakes and all that sort of business, you know. But just lovely, lovely. And you know something? When he left the theatre, like old school again, he bought a little gift for all the staff.
Yeah, I bet. He's a civilised individual,
yeah.
Isn't he? He really is, yeah. Someone says here, when we let our first dog go, the vet looked at the two of us and said, this isn't an ordinary day. Don't just go home and be like nothing happened. Order some takeaway, get a bottle of wine and remember your pal. I cried and cried and cried. Someone else saying puppy farms have to go. It's an absolute disgrace. Puppies need handling after a few weeks. It's impossible on a puppy farm. As a dog owner who pays the dog license, says this texter, I can't understand why government don't give half the dog license fee to dog charities on a yearly basis. Well, listen, Linda, it's funny, like, this is the passion of your life.
Yeah.
The dogs. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. The other is great too. But
the other's great
this is
too.
It. Okay. Well, listen, good luck with the Dublin Dog Hub and lovely to see you again,
and
Linda Martin.
And if there's a millionaire out there who wants to sort of look after me with these dogs, just get in contact with Brendan.
There is, Louis Walsh.
Ah!
He'd be in touch. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.